This edition of Culture with Robert Bound was first broadcast on the 31st of August 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound. This week we're talking music and we're asking, can Toronto be the new Austin? Austin is renowned for its music making, whether it's for being a country music hotspot or for hosting that mammoth industry show, South by Southwest. Melodic thoughts are conjured up at the very mention of the city's name. But what about Toronto? You might think of the Canadian city as a flag waver for film before music, but now they're working on changing all that. In today's show, we'll be investigating the Austin-Toronto Music City Alliance, and we'll speak to promoters, musicians, venue owners, and even Mayor John Tory to see how successful Toronto bid to be a music city has been.
It is going to be important to our establishing the broader, bigger, more robust industry, both from a creative and a jobs point of view, that we devote ourselves to closing some streets and having some noise, because that's part of what goes with a creative city.
That's all to come here on this week's edition of Culture with me, Robert Bound. Back in 2013, the Austin-Toronto Music City Alliance was established by then-Mayor Rob Ford. It was meant to create a music industry trade, to build a business and governmental bond between the two cities, and to put Toronto on the map as a destination for musos the world over. Since then, there's been growth within the city's music scene with the encouragement of city concerts and festivals, and policy changes to allow musicians and promoters more freedom to put on the events they need to thrive. So who better to tell us about all this than the man who's in charge of it all? Mayor John Tory sits down with Monocle's Toronto correspondent Christopher Frey to discuss what's changed in the city and the challenges that the alliance poses.
My vision is of a city that is welcoming to every aspect of music. And I think if you're welcoming of artists to begin with and of fairly large scale events or smaller scale events, but things that put musicians in the front window, as it were, across the city, that you're going to not only sort of allow the soul of the city to emerge and allow a lot of activity to take place, which is good for the hospitality business and so on, but you are going to build up an industry behind that. And I think we've seen that with film. I mean, if you said, well, which came first, the film industry or the film festival? The answer is, I'm not sure either one sort of came first, but they grew with each other. And as you became seen as a center for film, a center that welcomed people involved in all aspects of film display and production.
Earlier this year, you renewed the relationship that Toronto has with Austin, what's called the Austin-Toronto Music City Alliance. What are some of the things that you think Toronto and Austin can work together on, what Toronto can learn from Austin, and maybe what they can accomplish together?
Well, what we started to learn was how they could put on a festival the size of South by Southwest and do it in a way that the city accepted it. And they accept broad-scale closure of streets. They accept the city basically being taken over two times a year, but once in particular when it's a very big area of the city that is totally devoted to music. And in Toronto, we've had more trouble with that. I mean, we've sort of struggled to find venues where they could do outdoor events. We've struggled to find venues where we could do indoor events because people are concerned, and I understand, about noise. So we have to sort of understand how they have gone about convincing the business community, the residential community, and so on, to say, for these few days of the year, it is going to be important to our establishing the kind of broader, bigger, more robust industry, both from a creative and a jobs point of view, that we devote ourselves to closing some streets and having some noise, because that's part of what goes with a creative city. And so we've learned a lot of that, and that's how, you know, the fundamental challenge in front of me, not to single it out to any one thing here, is I would like North by Northeast, which is a third as big as South by Southwest, to become as big, because we're a city that's three times as big as Austin. So why couldn't we here in Toronto put on something that big? But it requires a change of mind. It requires us to be more open-minded about outdoor venues and repurposing some of that space to say we're going to make it more conducive to putting on music and so on. So we've learned that.
Some musicians, club owners, promoters have in recent months raised a few issues with the city in terms of bylaws or enforcement. For example, the public postering, which is still a way, funnily enough, that people communicate that they're having a show, that there's a gig coming up. There's been a crackdown of late, I guess, on some of those posterings. As well, the noise bylaws. Some people feel that they're a little too strict, that sometimes it may take only one complaint in order to trigger a response from the city, and this affects, you know, numerous various venues across the city. How are you dealing with these complaints that are coming up?
I've been trying to show leadership in two respects, I guess. One is that I've gone to bat several times when these things have come up and said, well, they wanted to close the street. And the city officials were saying, no, we can't close that street, and some of the local businesses, but they wanted to put on a music event. And I went to bat and we worked something out. With the Post Ring, we sort of said, well, we're going to back off a bit, and sort of recognizing this as a part of the lifeblood, strange as it seems in a digital era, that old-fashioned posters, but it works. And we've tried successfully on a couple of occasions now to kind of mediate with people who are planning to start up venues, even small venues, in areas where there was people that were apprehensive about the noise. And you know what? So far, every time we've done that kind of mediation and we've shown a bit of leadership, just to gently push back and say, look, this is important to a city that is going to thrive on creativity and is going to be a welcoming home to musicians and all kinds of artists, it's worked out fine. There's always going to be people who are unhappy or who complain, but we have to sort of say to them, well, look, it's not going to be every night till 3 a.m. It's not going to be every street's going to be closed every day of the year to put on concerts. It's certain select times. We're going to be careful about it. We'll be respectful of the fact people do live or work in the area. And I'm finding that as we push back a little bit, the city government itself is becoming a bit more responsive, but so too are the residents of the city. They're coming to understand that this is another important part of our economy and the health of the city and what makes the city special. But it's going to take time.
That was Mayor John Tory speaking to Monocle's Christopher Frey. Music Cities is a worldwide idea. Encouraging music tourism to your town creates economic growth, jobs, livability, culture, tourism, and more, as we've just heard from Mr. Mayor. Now we're going to hear from those who are putting this all into practice. The city's hired people specifically to drive Toronto in the right direction to become a music city. And our roving reporter, Marcellus, heads out to meet a few of them.
Number one, artists and musicians are the heart of a music city. You don't just create a music city without having a place that's going to attract artists and musicians. It just won't happen. So it's not something that you can just create. But you can create a music-friendly environment, and that is what cities can control. So they can control what their regulations, their bylaws, their policies, just the business environment for music, and they can make themselves a much friendlier place.
Amy Terrell, Music Canada's Vice President of Public Affairs and key player behind the recently published report, The Mastering of a Music City, which also outlines specific recommendations for Toronto to be a music city.
Well, we had about 16, and they weren't all directed towards the city of Toronto. So some of them were directed to industry and around the idea of working together, developing branding for the city. City specifically, we recommended the creation of a music advisory council and a music office, and both of those things have happened.
That music office is now Mike Tanner, former director of North by Northeast Festival and now music supervisor for the City of Toronto. What does a city music supervisor do?
I support and strengthen the music community. A lot of what I do is act as a kind of linchpin between the music community and City Hall. So that could be helping to direct people in the right direction if they need to, you know, talk with transportation or parks department or special events. It can be a big and sometimes a confusing place, helping to communicate city ideas, initiatives, projects to the music community.
Sounds good. But what is so great about Toronto?
There's a tremendous scene here. It's better than it's ever been. There's never been a better time to play live gigs. I hear the number 150 live music venues in Toronto. I don't know whether that's true or not. And we're hoping to do a little bit more of a full study on that this fall and over the winter on figuring out exactly what the inventory is. Do you count the Italian restaurant that has a musician once a month as a live music venue or not? So, but there's a ton of places to play. I think Toronto is blessed with really passionate and engaged audience, people who will go out to shows, whether the shows are, you know, in a backyard on a street in Kensington Market or at the Air Canada Centre and everything in between. If you're a musician in Toronto, you're also going to find all that energy and buzz from having so many other musicians and so much music around you. You're not the only person doing what you're doing. Chances are, if you got a day job, three other people at your day job play in bands as well.
We've got a healthy music scene, loads of venues, loads of musicians, and now a dedicated office at City Hall. But does that also mean we've got more government funding for the arts? Marina Adam from the Ontario Music Fund.
The Ontario Music Office, it was newly created in 2013 in the Ontario budget, mainly to administer the Ontario Music Fund, which has now become permanent. So it's $15 million a year. The Ontario Music Fund is designed to support music companies and organizations in Ontario's music industry. So, you know, music label, record labels can apply, music managers can apply. We also have a live music portion, so booking agents, promoters, presenters can apply.
In the 3 years, the $15 million in funding has been in place, how has Toronto specifically been affected?
I think just in general, the activity for the festivals, we've definitely seen, you know, a spike in activity. And I think it may also be attracting larger festivals that may not have thought about coming to Toronto in the past just because the level of activity is rising. So whether or not, we don't fund all of the festivals and we can't necessarily fund international, like a festival or something like that. But I think just given that there is so much activity and it sort of shows that Toronto is a city that likes to get out and see music, and there's a critical mass of people that are going to want to be out doing this. So I think that's pretty amazing, and I think that's something that I hope the Music Fund has encouraged.
The rise in festivals has been apparent to even the occasional music fan. This summer, every weekend there seems to be a street festival, a park festival, or something happening down by the waterfront. There's so much to choose from. It looks like Toronto is slowly developing into being a music city. What more, though, does the city have planned? Mike Tanner.
Opening up of city spaces, whether they be public squares or parks or other kinds of publicly owned space, to more music in the years ahead. I think that I hope that we'll see more recognition from even things as long range as city planning and how things are zoned and the kinds of licenses that entertainment venues can have access to and what kinds of privileges and responsibilities come with those licenses. So we've got a little way to go, but it's already a very rich, incredible, diverse, strong, animated sector, and it's great that there's the recognition that it's a sector worth supporting, and you know, I see good things in the future.
We'll hear more from Mara a little later on in the show when we move away from the policymakers and meet the musicians and promoters who are keeping Toronto's music scene thriving.
Do you ever feel like you've missed out on something? Have you been on the road? Miss the latest world news? Then catch up with The Recap, the best of the week's cutting-edge reports, comment, news and features from all the flagship shows on Monocle 24. Join us every Saturday from 1400 London time or via the Monocle 24 app.
You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Band, and this week we're assessing Toronto as a music city. This summer saw a huge boost in festivals in the Canadian city, with events on offer almost every weekend throughout June and July. Bestival is a UK-based festival that has taken place each year since 2004 on the Isle of Wight in the English Channel. But this year, organiser Rob DeBank decided to take the event overseas and settled on Toronto. So does this mean that the city is being recognised internationally as a bit of a musical hub? Producer Holly spoke to Rob to find out and first asked him, why Toronto?
We've been looking for about 8 or 9 years for somewhere to do an international festival. And, you know, we've had offers from all over the world, from kind of South America to China to Europe, you know, France and Germany and all over the place. And it was just kind of potluck, really, when the Toronto site came up that we were, you know, we were kind of feeling brave and feeling like expanding. And as soon as we saw Toronto Island's Hanlon Point site, then we kind of fell in love with it just by looking at some pictures of it online. And yeah, it kind of, that's how it sort of came to be, really.
And what were the main differences in creating a festival for Toronto rather than on the Isle of Wight?
You know, it was a totally different experience for us. We were in the UK, we're completely 100% in charge, and we build the entire thing from scratch, and we're there from day one to when it's all down again. And Toronto, obviously, we're working with local partners, Embrace, and national partners, SFX. So a lot more different parties involved. You know, it's the same thing, it's building a site, but there's a lot more. It's just kind of getting to know everyone and starting the whole process from scratch, which was a good challenge, but also, you know, a challenge, because normally we're just our own bosses and we just get on with it and we know what we're doing. We know the site. So, yeah, it's a new site. It was a new team of people. But for a first year, it was fantastic. You know, we all really gelled and pulled it off.
We've been speaking to, you know, a lot of policymakers, and we've spoken to Mayor Tory and lots of musicians in the city as well, and it seems that noise control seems to be one of the things that's maybe holding Toronto back a little bit from being able to sort of fulfill its musical potential.
We didn't have any direct complaints. I think we work really, you know, hard with the city and the local residents and the, you know, the association that kind of run the island to make sure that we kind of left it as we got it. And, you know, we did a lot of reseeding and replanting of you know, turf to make sure there was no sort of upset to the land. And, you know, the same with sound and volume and getting crowds off. I mean, you know, pretty much everyone was gone by 11 o'clock at night, so or midnight, you know, so it's and everyone was in one particular area waiting for the boats and stuff. So yeah, I mean, you know, that is our prime concern always, doing a show. We don't want to upset the local kind of ecosystem and the people that live there, so it's really crucial for us.
So did you find that because, yeah, Toronto's trying to sell itself as a music city, were they quite enthusiastic in having you there? And did you find that there was quite an enthusiasm in general for live music events in the city?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, we work with people, you know, Embrace over there who run events there all year round, and they're the experts in that field. But, you know, we got to meet, you know, local partners there and, you know, people, you know, representing the city. And I think, you know, I'd like to think that having one of the UK's biggest festivals come over to Toronto is a kind of good thing for the city. You know, we're kind of spreading the love. And I definitely felt from the people of Toronto, I mean, I couldn't believe the reception when people came onto the site, the excitement that they were kind of showing. You know, people were literally running onto the site, screaming and shouting with enthusiasm, and you know, and that kind of kept up throughout the weekend. And it was really refreshing, because I think the UK, although we love festivals, people are a bit more, you know, because I'd heard Torontonians were really reserved, and, you know, and I was expecting it to be a bit more chill, but everyone was really up for it, which was fantastic.
And what do you make of the music scene over there?
It's incredible, yeah. I mean, you know, Toronto's got, you know, a fantastic scene from people like The Weeknd and stuff, but through to Keys and Crates, and, you know, every style. And that it's, I mean, I read somewhere that it's the most multicultural city in the world, I think, with 109 different nationalities or something. So I love that, you know, that it's got everything coming out of there. It's got, you know, reggae, soul, dub, trance, techno, you know, gabba. It's got every style, and that's what we like at best of all.
And so finally, do you think that Toronto could be recognised as a music city in the same way somewhere like Austin is?
Yeah, I mean, I think Toronto is, you know, up there in the, I don't know, like, you know, definitely the top 10 in the world. I think it's just got so many different amazing artists coming out of there. You know, the electronic scene's also really strong there, some great venues. Yeah, I hope we can be part of that sort of continued story, really.
That was broadcaster and festival organiser Rob DeBank speaking to Holly Fisher. Bestival will be returning to Toronto next summer, and if you're in the UK, you can catch this year's Bonanza on September the 10th. One bonus of Toronto could be its size. It has the natural advantage of being Canada's biggest city, which means it has a good infrastructure of record labels, PR agencies, booking agents, and festivals. All this obviously helps it as a destination for musicians from across the country and internationally. But what do the people who make up the music community think of Toronto as a music city and of its music scene in general? Mark Sellers is out and about again to find out and begins by speaking to musician Lido Pimienta.
Toronto could be exceptionally good. Toronto does not need to be, you know, New York's ugly cousin, which right now we suffer from an inferiority complex, you know, and it has always been like that. And I go to New York and it's awesome, but I come back to Toronto and I feel like I'm home.
Toronto is home to so many musicians, venues, festivals, and more. But is it actually a good place for musicians? Sean Bowering, owner of music venue The Garrison.
The city's changed so much in the last 25 years. Like, we used to live in big giant warehouses that we could rehearse in, and those are all torn down and made into condos now. So it's radically changed, and I don't know if it is easy anymore. Like, it's quite an expensive city to live in, and I mean, there's certainly a great scene. There's lots of awesome small bars, you know, all the way up to great big venues. There's rehearsal places. There's good music stores. I think there is still a good sense of camaraderie and good local scene. There's new stuff that goes on, like CBGBs and the Geary Avenue thing, and that's great. And there always should be that. Those, you know, 20-year-olds should be doing their own thing, and that's very important.
And owning and running a venue in Toronto seems to have its own set of rules.
There's no legal venue in Toronto. We're all restaurants. So there's no actual license for a music venue unless you're, you know, the Danforth Music Hall or the Phoenix. The city in the city of Toronto, there's no such thing as a bar. I know. I left a big pause there because people are going, what the? And that's true. Everyone's a restaurant. Or you're like an amusement hall, like a pool hall, what tavern licenses were phased out, they're gone. So like the Horseshoe has a hole in the wall to A&W, and you can order there. So everyone finds their loophole. Now you still have to have food to have a liquor license, and that's provincial standards. But the city does not offer a license for. You can have X amount of space for entertainment based on square footage.
Venues being classified as restaurants? Toronto seems a bit behind on the legal aspects of becoming a music city. So now that Mike Tanner is music supervisor, how is that affecting the community? Longtime promoter, musician, and Wavelength creative director, Johnny Dovercourt.
The efforts to brand Toronto's music city are still in the really early stages, and like nothing has really been publicly rolled out. Everything's just been very tentative and exploratory. And Mike Tanner, who's the new music sector development officer of the city, like the guy they hire to be the music czar, has actually done a really great job of engaging the community. And we've hosted some events like around Music City. Like Toronto Music City talks around these questions of, well, how can this Toronto be a music city and, you know, engage all the different aspects of the scene, because the scene is so large here, right? It's so diverse. There's a diverse population in this city. There's like many like diverse types of musical creation.
And for a musician like Lido Pimienta, how has the new music office affected her?
This person's new job and responsibility has not really affected me in a good way or a bad way. I feel like things are stable, and I think that things are ecstatic when it comes to my music and my crew and my friends. We basically make our own shows. We basically are forming our own community and are just not waiting for people to give us a hand. We're just doing it ourselves.
And, you know, so, like, nothing has affected us directly. There, you know, in terms of the larger scene, there's been some, like, disappointing things that have happened that I'm sure are outside of Mike Tanner's control. He's just one guy. He's dealing with, you know, inheriting this sort of very sometimes confusing and, like, glacial bureaucracy that is City Hall. And there's, like, back at this past North by Northeast, like, Paper Bag Records had some block party that they'd put months and months of work into, and they'd been assured everything was fine, and then they were told days beforehand that nope, it's actually not okay, and I think that was a little disillusioning for some people, like saying, okay, so, you know, Music City isn't quite there yet.
Music City, still a work in progress, but Toronto's organic music output and scene is incredibly strong. How is it naturally so good?
You know what's really funny is that it's a great place to, like, turn old. I think that it's a great place to sort of actually put down roots as a musician and still have, like, a youthful lifestyle. And I think that's really big, actually, is it is not, it's, there's a continuity in the music scene as a result. It's not like a college town where it's really transient. Like, society has changed a lot in the last 25 years, and looking at the sort of bigger picture about, like, societal change and demographic shifts, I think, by, again, confirmation bias on my part, being, like, an air-quoting old dude, I think Toronto's great because you can still be, like, having a cool bohemian youthful lifestyle, like, well into your 40s if you want to, which results in a music scene where there's more, you know, people working on bands or projects over a long period of time, and it's not like people just sort of moving through town and, you know, going to school and having a band and then band breaks up because they all move away. Yeah. Not transient. It's like there's continuity.
Toronto, a place you can put down roots and work on music. I couldn't have said it better myself. For Monocle in Toronto, I'm Mar Sellers.
Thank you, Mar. So can Toronto be the new Austin? Well, perhaps not literally the new Austin. Firstly, it's far bigger and already has the identity of being a bit of a film hub to contend with. Is there room for both? There's still a little way to go. While the festival scene is thriving, noise regulation and licensing has a major part to play in this, and is something the city needs to work on to keep the music playing. While there is a plethora of music venues, they're all classified as restaurants, and introducing licenses for bars and venues might make life a little bit easier for a music city. But you can't deny the wealth of music that's coming out of Toronto at the moment, from hip-hopper Drake to indie darlings Always, and plenty of electro, folk, reggae and blues in between. It's an extremely multicultural community with a lot of different genres on offer. Plus, there's a huge abundance of music venues, so plenty of space to get gigging. Is Toronto a music city? Well, it says it is, and it seems that's how Austin started out too. If you say it enough, then people might just latch onto it. Perhaps it was a music city before it was decided it was a music city. For now, at least, it's certainly not a bad place if you're in the biz. You've been listening to Culture on Monocle 24. My producer was honorary Torontonian Holly Fisher. And a big thank you to Mar Sellers for all her inside Toronto knowledge. Join us again at the same time next week. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bound, and thank you very much for tuning in.